Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm all right, guys. How are you doing today?
Great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Hope you had a good spring break. Corey, what did you make of the Robert Woods move for the Titans? They trade a 2023 6th-rounder to the Rams. Robert Woods back in exchange. Seems like pretty good value for the Titans. What are your thoughts on this deal?
Well, number one, I really like Robert Woods. I mean, he's a player I've liked a lot for a long time because he's a professional. He's physical. He gets yards after the catch. He's versatile. I mean, he is really the kind of player that really fits with this football team. So I totally, when I saw that trade, I was like, that makes sense because he is their absolutely kind of guy. But the other thing that strikes out to me is how frustrated, how aggravated, how much they must have just given up. Because you would rather trade another draft pick for a guy coming off of an ACL than deal with Julio Jones' hamstring for another year, which means they pretty much just said this hamstring's not getting any better and we're not going to go through that song and dance of wondering every week how long we're going to have him for.
Yeah, well, that's no doubt, Corey, I agree. I mean, I guess, like, the Julio, obviously it's like, the Julio thing happens, and it's like, okay, so what is the answer other than trying to draft someone? I mean, when I saw this for a 2023 six, I'm like, okay, now that's pretty good work. And I understand it falls into the pantheon of players with serious injuries that John Robinson acquires, you know.
Yeah. But you still lost a second round pick trading for Julio Jones as well.
Oh, sure. So, oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a catastrophic loss. But, yeah, I mean – look, there's an old Patriot tradition of trading for distressed assets. I don't recall them trading for as many injured players or requiring as many injured players as the Titans have. But, you know, the Titans have certainly gone the distressed assets route in acquiring some guys who have high upside if they fully recover. Unfortunately, as we've seen, not all of them fully recover.
Corey, what do you think of the Austin Hooper move, bringing him in as the presumed tight end one for this team?
Well, I think it's a great signing, you know, especially for the value, $6 million. I think that's really, really strong, and it's a sign why you don't always pay early. I know everybody was freaking out the first few days when they didn't pay, you know, to bring in a Hayden Hurst or a Ty Conklin, and I like Ty Conklin. But when you pay in the first day or two, you overpay. Almost every time you overpay in those situations. And we saw last year, it did not appear the Titans put a ton of value on that position by the way they addressed it. So I wasn't sure how much value they were going to put on that position this year. But, I mean, look, this is a guy capable of catching 70 passes a year. He's proved it. And so I think he is a good football player, capable with high upside again, and they got him at the right price. And so I think that's really strong. But they still got to draft somebody. Now, will they? I don't know. But to me, when you look at this roster and the future of this football team, you got to draft somebody. And for the love of me, I don't understand the love affair with Jeff Swaim, but there it is.
Some Swaim shade on a Monday.
Look, he's a guy, right?
Yeah, he's a guy.
That's it. He's a guy.
Well, no doubt, and I mean the tight end room absolutely still needs work, even with that guy and this new guy in there. So, as you said, I agree with you. It's somewhere they got to draft tight end. I still feel like if there's a really good receiver in the first round, I still think that they need speed. Still, they've got to have.
I agree.
But how do you view just where they are now in this, including the offensive line, in this whole idea of being better around Tannehill?
Well, I mean, you know, you've got to have guys healthy, number one. You've got, you know, Derek's got to be healthy, which, you know, you would think he is, and Robert Woods has got to come off and be healthy. And you're right, I think you still need another speed element, dependable, explosive element at the wide receiver position. And, you know, when they talked about being better around Tannehill, it wasn't just talent-wise. They talked about, you know, basically the way guys played, you know, creating passing lanes, coming back to the football, hands extended. They, you know, they were just talking about, you know, making everything, you know, fundamentally perfect around him as well. But, you know, look, they had pieces last year. You know, they suffered through injuries. Do I think that they're hugely better? I mean, well, look, Henry's a year older. You know, Austin Hooper should be an improvement at the tight end position for sure. And we don't know what we're going to get from Robert Woods, and we don't know what we're going to get at left guard. And so, you know, I think that there's still some unknowns there. I would say they look slightly better, but, you know, there were a lot of people when they signed Julio Jones or traded for Julio Jones who had this team scoring 35 points a game last year. And so, you know, you wait and you see. You know, they clearly have a plan, and I think that's always the most important thing. You have a plan for what you want to look like, who fits. I think they found some guys who fit, and I think that that's important. So I feel good enough about this football team around Ryan Tannehill. The question is, can Tannehill step up his game? Because, you know, I don't remember who asked the question. I think it was Teron, and he's right. You know, at some point, the quarterback, you know, the players around the quarterback don't elevate the quarterback. The quarterback's got to elevate the players. I mean, we've seen that with the great ones, that they elevate the players. And so Tannehill's got to elevate, and he's got to elevate the guys around him.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, what did you make of the Deshaun Watson decision, signing a five-year, $230 million, fully guaranteed contract with the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I don't think for him that's a hard decision, right?
No.
5 years, $230 million. It just goes to show you how important that position is in this league, that you're willing to take a guy and not just sign him, but you're willing to trade three ones and more and shell out $46 million a year. Isn't it guaranteed, fully guaranteed?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
For a guy still facing allegations from 22 women of wrongdoing. And you're willing – and look, I know these teams do their own investigations and field things, but forgive me if I don't trust Cleveland's process, all right? But they weren't the only ones. There were other teams lined up, which goes to show you how important this position is. And not only that, as a Chicago Bear fan, I can tell you how hard it is to get this position right. You know, for you know, the Chargers and the Packers and the Colts, it was easy for a long time. Ask the Colts how that's going now. You know, they don't always fall in your lap. You know, even when you pick first, they don't always fall in your lap. And so teams are willing to take chances. You know, the Bears trading up to get Mitch Trubisky, trading up again to get Justin Fields. You know, the Colts trading to get Carson Wentz, hoping to get his, you know, get magic in a bottle and get him back to where he was a few years ago. It didn't work out. But so, I mean, that's number one. It just shows you the desperation teams have to get that position right. And I say desperation. And then the other thing is the AFC is just sick. And that's I get Titans fans' angst, because you're not looking at the AFC South landscape. You're looking at the AFC landscape and all the teams and all the quarterbacks you could face in the playoffs that you think ultimately are better than yours. And that's the disheartening thing.
Yeah, I said earlier, it's like this is almost like they should do like the old before the merger, like if the AFC becomes like what the NFL was, and then,
yeah,
you know, the NFC is like the old AFL. They played a little exhibition called the Super Bowl at the end, you know.
Do you think that had anything to do with Brady coming back, looking at the NFC landscape and knowing it's basically him and Aaron Rodgers? That's about it.
I think he just wanted to ruin bracket day, but that's just me. So on Deshaun, Corey, after all this is over, and yeah, a lot of people think he's going to be a six-game suspension, but you know, at some point it's going to get to – he's the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Like, what do you think is going to happen with him in his career? Like, do you think that this is going to be worth it for them?
Well, if he gets them to the Super Bowl, it absolutely is. And, you know, it's why, you know, Jay Cutler is Jay Cutler. But he elevated the position for the Chicago Bears. He got them to the NFC Championship game and played the position better than virtually anyone they've had for a long time. And so from that aspect, that trade looked okay to me. And if he gets them to the Super Bowl, it's worth it. He's still young. And he can still rewrite a lot of his career. I mean, look, the very first part of his career was spectacular, and he had a reputation of just being the saintly guy. That has obviously been smudged. But he's got a lot of football and life left in him to try to, I don't want to say rewrite this narrative, because you can't. I mean, it's there. But to show he's more, to show he's more. And, you know, we'll see if he can do it. We'll see what, you know, we'll see how Cleveland goes, and we'll see how Deshaun goes, because he's not getting a second chance. He's getting the mother of all second chances. And we'll see, you know, they always say money doesn't solve problems. It just solves problems with big money behind it, or can create problems with big money behind it. We'll see how he handles the situation. I do know this. I was a masseuse in Cleveland, and I got a call. I might not take that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Corey, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
All right, thanks. Hey, guys, I apologize. I was out the entire weekend with a family emergency, so I missed out on a lot of what happened this weekend. And I did want to ask you, Robbie, I saw some Twitter headlines that the Forsberg talks are not going well. What's going on there?
Well, it just seems like they're still at an impasse on the number. My guess is, though, they're not trading him today. I would be shocked if they trade him today.
Yeah, especially with as well as they've rebounded from that lull that they had. They're playing well again, and it'd be tough to not go into the playoffs with that. With
I would say so.
Never had before.
Yeah.
So.
No question about it. Corey, thanks, we'll talk guys. To you next week. Absolutely. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say there. Take your thoughts as well on the Titans. Robert Woods, now a member of the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We're live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Corey Curtis from News 2 for joining us in the last segment. Robert Woods, now a member of the Tennessee Titans. He was traded from the LA Rams in exchange for a 2023 sixth-round pick for the Titans, so adding to the wide receiver room to go along with A.J. Brown. Julio Jones is out. Robert Woods is in. Joe Rexrode, what do you think of the Robert Woods move, and what do you think he brings to the table in terms of his skill set and how it fits this Titans offense, which, by the way, very similar to the offense they run out in L.A.?
Which is what we said about Josh Reynolds last year.
It is what we said.
So Josh Reynolds from the Rams was, well, actually, when they got him, he was wide receiver two, other than, you know, of course, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, as someone may have told you a year ago, was going to be a key player for the Titans. But anyway, Josh Reynolds was wide receiver two and didn't work out at all and didn't fit. Also was hurt, but still, clearly there was a disconnect between his skill set and him and this offense and this coaching staff. I think Robert Woods is going to fit in perfectly. And it's true that Mike Vrabel talks up opponents for sure. The one thing you can count on in a game week is that if you ask him about opposing players, he's like a lot of coaches, loves to talk up the other, you know, team's players. But the stuff he said about Robert Woods it's very relevant now. So TD and Luke Worsham get credit for finding that and tweeting that out after they got him. I mean, he's talking about his blocking and he loves receivers who block.
Yes, he does.
And Robert Woods is considered one of the best blocking receivers in the league. Some people will laugh at that, but if you watch the Titans play, they do rely on some receivers who block some people. So I think he'll fit in really well. I think it's a great move. I mean, sixth-round pick to get him. Basically, this is your replacement for Julio Jones. So you're replacing the guy with the two-year hamstring saga with a younger guy coming off an ACL. Much more serious injury, but maybe rehab, get through it, and you're fine. This happens a lot now in sports. Ultimately, I think they'll probably get a better year from Robert Woods in 22 than they got from Julio Jones in 21. And it's an important move. And now, if you can get that rookie in that can come right in and help, then you're looking at A.J. Brown, rookie TBD, Robert Woods, and then a really nice fourth guy in Westbrook Akina.
Which is where he should be.
Yeah.
Number four.
And there's shame nothing wrong in that at all.
Yeah. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden texting in says, if Bobby Trees comes in healthy and with the signing of Austin Hooper on paper, it's hard not to think that this offense will be better than last year at the skill positions. By the way, can we put the Bobby Trees nickname in the same Hall of Fame that the Pharaoh is in? That's really good stuff.
I love Bobby Trees. Is that, did he just make that up, or is that a thing? It's already been a thing.
It's on his Pro Football Reference page as well. Bobby Trees.
Elijah loves it. He tweeted it out.
I didn't know that. Bobby Trees is great.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm not going to call him Robert Woods anymore here on the program. Bobby Trees from now on.
That's great. He's just a good number two receiver, you know. And at times last year before he got hurt, it was kind of like Cooper Kupp ended up having this outrageous season. But at times last year, it kind of would alternate games even between those two guys in terms of Matthew Stafford targeting and their production. He had some big games. He's just a really good, solid player. So they needed that. And, again, this does matter. You know, if you pay attention to the discussion around him, although I obviously missed his nickname, I mean, he's universally liked and respected there, and that means something. You know, the Julio Jones stuff was overblown about all his, you know, the problematic stuff with him and coaches and all that stuff. I mean, it didn't really manifest itself here, at least, but like, there's nothing like that when, you know, with Robert Woods, with Bobby Trees,
and he tore his ACL on a practice. So the last game he actually played last year was against the Titans. 7 catches, 98 yards. You know, before that he had a 3-catch, 35-yard, a touchdown game. 6 catches, 70. The game before that, he had one game last year against the Seahawks, where I guess he and Julio Jones have this in common. You tear up Seahawks, 12 catches, 150. Robert Woods last year.
No, that's what I was thinking of too when I talked about alternating games. Like Cup, I don't think did a ton of that game, but I think that was a primetime game, wasn't it? And it was just Robert Woods just absolutely torching them all day long. He's good. It's a good pickup. They're better. I mean, it's, you know, Titans with Hooper and Woods and keeping Ben Jones, cutting Roger Saffold. We'll see what they do with the draft. There's nothing they're going to do in the draft that at the end of the day you're going to look at them and say, okay, that's better than this team with this quarterback in the AFC or this team with this quarterback in the AFC. But it's the whole picture. And the whole picture is, I think you're relying on, you're hoping for a elite defense, another step on defense to elite, and then a better offense. And that's going to win you some football games.
Dennis on the text line says, is John Robinson's house completely furnished with scratched and dented/refurbished finds? Apparently this is a shot at the injured players that John Robinson likes to find.
The injury rate is 100%. Have you not heard this? 100%.
That's right.
Well, you know, you can do – I mean, that's not a bad idea. Do a little bargain shopping, you know. He probably doesn't need to do that anymore, but maybe at one time in his life, you know. You go to a place and get some used furniture. I bought some nice used couches that maybe a little bit scratched up. You get them for pennies on the dollar. That's just good business.
My brother one time found a couch on the side of the road.
Really?
Picked it up. That was sketchy, but we cleaned it up.
Listen, it couches out. Are expensive.
Yeah.
I would do it. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Just kidding, actually. I said that, and I'm like, maybe not.
Adulting can be hard.
It can be.
Yes.
I got a texture that says, thoughts on whether they focus on a right tackle or guard in round one now. I'd like to see another veteran right tackle added in free agency.
Well, it's possible. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot more activity in free agency from them, but maybe like a depth offensive lineman.
Remember, they have signed Jamarco Jones, so they've
who is a depth offensive lineman. Yep. Yeah. You sign another one? Yeah, probably not. I mean, I think that the offensive line is – that's the thing. It just could be your big board, and it's like – you're sitting there with a good receiver, but there's one of those offensive guards you love, you know? And again, if you make that pick, let's say that's your pick. And I know TD likes a couple of these guards a lot. You know, if that's your pick, then to me that says Dylan Radunz is going to be your starting right tackle, and that's the plan, and you feel okay about it. I think Dylan Radunz and what they think he is has to – be considered in whatever they do in the draft. They won't nail it down.
Sure,
and that's fine. They're trying. They don't want to put like anything public in terms of expectations on them. But I think we will learn about that based on how they draft.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com 615-737-1025. Getting into another move that the Titans made over the weekend as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We've got Darren McFarland coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on NHL trade deadline day, which is today in the National Hockey League. Big win for the Predators over the weekend. We'll see what they do today. Already one move made by the Predators. We'll see how active they are today. Trade deadline at 2 p.m. Central Time. Coming up later today. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. William from Madison texting in says, why are the Rams trading Woods for such low value going back to them? It cannot be the salary cap situation because we all know cap is not real. That's coming from William on the text line.
That must be it. I don't know.
It must be
that there's no cap considerations at all in the NFL anymore.
I will say, like, the return, I was kind of surprised that the draft pick was a six-rounder in 2023 for a player as good as Bobby Trees is for the Rams. Now, there has been some reporting that's been done about how much he means to the Rams and, you know, what a difficult thing it was for the Rams to trade him, and they wanted to make sure they, quote, did right by Robert Woods. So I guess the Titans were the right spot that they felt like he wanted to be and that he needed to go to, and so maybe that affected the price on the way back. I don't know.
I mean, look, the bottom line is my understanding anyway is that OBJ is the priority, right?
Yep.
So,
well, and you got Allen Robinson in there now, and you've got Cooper Kupp as well. Like, when they signed Allen Robinson, I was like, oh boy, okay.
Yeah, so I'm going through, the best reporting on the Rams, friend of the show, who came on the show at 4 a.m. during Super Bowl week the heck it was, Jordan Rodriguez has some, some good reporting on this at The Athletic. One is obviously, not paying three receivers, like you said, Allen Robinson, Cooper Kupp's got a big deal coming. So, I mean, he was not in their plans. They are going to get 8.6 dead money hit, but they're still going to save — this is a source who told Jordan this — they're going to save $10 million between cash bonus and cap considerations previously owed to him in 2022. So it's still a financial net game for them. They're trying to restructure Aaron Donald's deal. And like you said, there's also like, this is a situation of, wanting to do right by him. Could they have done more? Or could they have gotten more? Yes. And they could, again, this is what a source told her. They also wanted to find, quote, they also wanted to find a good spot for Woods, and the Titans' offense is certainly that. His blocking will lock even more, and their run game thrives in play-action-heavy offenses. So, right, I mean, I know it's you know, in this league, when we're looking at like this Deshaun Watson situation, it's very easy to laugh at anything other than bottom line, hardcore, you know, dollars and cents, wins and losses. But it, like, if you're a good employee for a place and good people run the place, you actually might get rewarded for that, even when they're getting rid of you.
Well, and he signed through his age 33 season, which is in 2025. So, you know, obviously it's an NFL contract, so you can get out of it before then. But he signed until age 33. So if it works out, this could be something where if you're the Titans, this is a multi-year thing with Robert Woods as you move forward here too. Now, I haven't dug into what happens if it doesn't work out and how easy it would be to get out from underneath the contract after next year. But, you know, presumably if he's back and he's healthy and he's the Robert Woods that we've seen the last few years, that's a pretty good receiver for the Titans and something that I would assume they'd be interested in keeping around here for the next little while.
I'm sure that's the plan. You know, yeah. They've been obviously struggling with some of these pickups that they were hoping would be. Well, I mean, Clowney was going to be a 1 year, but, you know, after that huge year that he was going to have here, then he was, of course, going to want to stay here.
Has he signed anywhere yet, by the way? I don't think so.
I have not seen that.
What a big year last year.
He did. That's going to be agent. That's going to be fascinating. What is this year? It's every year. What is the market this year for Jadeveon Clowney? Certainly better than it was last year. And last year he got more than most people thought he would, right?
Yes, he did.
15 hey. Mil coming for Clowney now?
Maybe so. Make some of that Harold Landry money.
I'm actually really fascinated by that now. Okay, here. Oh no, never mind. Whenever you, if you Google like Clowney and like suitors, it's like, oh, here's one from 2020. Here's one from 2021. Yeah,
he's free agent. 2019.
That's going to be interesting. There's still a lot of interesting stuff to go in free agency.
No question about it. Titans, speaking of free agency, they sign Austin Hooper. Their tight end, I assume their tight end number one that they have moving in to this season. Maybe they find a diamond in the rough in the draft and he blows people away. But Austin Hooper, I would assume, the starting tight end for the Titans now. 1 year, $6 million deal for Austin Hooper at age 27. We talked about this earlier in the show. He had some really productive years at the end of his career with the Falcons, then moves on to the Browns, and production-wise, it was not the same in Cleveland as it was in Atlanta. You know, he was hurt in 2020, so that played a part in it. And then last year, 38 catches, 345 yards, 3 touchdowns. So not eye-popping numbers from Austin Hooper during his time in Cleveland. His last year in Atlanta, he had, this was 2019, 75 catches, 787 yards, 6 touchdowns. I think the Titans would sign up for that right now, obviously. But if you could give me somewhere in between the last year at Cleveland and the last year in Atlanta, I'd probably take that if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah, and look, a huge question, of course, is what is Austin Hooper as a blocker? Everybody's got a block in this offense. You know, one thing is, of course, if you just understand that he went to Stanford, you can probably feel pretty good about him blocking because Stanford churns out big blocking tight ends just left and right. He was the highest graded, if you want to go by PFF, highest graded blocking tight end with the Browns, so get excited. But seriously, like if you're going to be, you know, starting tight end for this offense and team, you got to be good in that way, and he's good in that way. It's what's the production looking like moving forward here? Can he get back to, I mean, you hate to keep talking about players, so can he get back to, you know, with the Falcons a few years ago, that production? Remember when he was really good?
Yeah.
Seems like that doesn't work out a lot for the Titans.
But he is 27.
Yeah, he's 27.
A little bit of a difference.
He's 27. He's 6'4", you know, 255, runs a 4.7. I mean, he's got all the tools. And if you're going to get someone coming in here, fresh start, motivated to be a starting tight end for a playoff team, division championship favorite, and want to play his best football, then you could really have a nice value there.
So he's a good blocker. Robert Woods is a good blocker. Still have Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. Maybe the plan is just run the ball the whole time. You know, we've talked about being great
run
around
the
Tannehill.
Damn ball. They have those T-shirts.
Tannehill cannot throw interceptions when he's not throwing the ball.
That's true. I mean, maybe they could, you know, run the ball and do more read option keepers. You know, little let Tannehill run the ball a little bit more.
I think I'm reading between the lines here and seeing what may be going on with some of these Titans offseason moves.
Go to the Veer. How scary would Derrick Henry be in the Veer?
I think very scary.
But hey, blocking and tackling, it's a simple game. You know? I mean, the thing is, in all seriousness, with this Titans roster right now, I mean, they do have the potential to be special on defense.
Yep.
It's just that it's that one cornerback spot that you have to wonder about, you know. But that's you did spend a first round pick to address that a year ago. So if that were to work out, you know, the defense is going to give them a chance, I think, most weeks. And I think you get into the playoffs and the defense is what you start with, what you hang your hopes on. It's what almost won you your last playoff game, even with your quarterback soiling himself.
Glenn on the text line says, I say bring in Delanie Walker as a tight end coach to help elevate that position. What do you think about that?
Yes.
Well, this is different from last year. Last year people wanted to bring him in as a player. Now I can bring him in as a coach.
Why not a player coach?
Well, I don't know.
I mean,
look, I feel like if Delanie Walker wanted to, he could be a good tight end coach.
Sure, sure. Yeah, no doubt. I think that often works out.
I was just really I wondered which what would the first Delanie Walker text we got this year, what it would be. I didn't anticipate coach, so I'm glad Glenn went there. That's better than what I thought it would be.
You said it's Glenn?
Yeah.
All right. Delanie Walker has to be involved somehow. He must be involved with it. Why not, like, you know, assistant GM or something?
Hey, I'm sure he could do a good job at that, too.
Yeah.
Just give him all the responsibility.
There are tight ends who have become great GMs. Ozzie Newsome,
yep.
By the way. Great Browns tight end.
Hey, it's worth a shot, man. Real quickly on the Deshaun Watson stuff. Signing the guaranteed deal with Cleveland. That does mean Baker Mayfield's going to be traded. Matt Ryan may be traded, according to Ian Rappaport earlier today. Falcons have been fielding trade calls the last couple of days on Matt Ryan. And today is the deadline to make a decision. Matt Ryan earns a $7.5 million roster bonus if he's on the roster at 4 o'clock today. I guess that's 4 o'clock Eastern time. So it'll either be a trade or back to Atlanta. We think Matt Ryan gets traded today, and what do we think happens with Baker Mayfield? A lot of people connecting the Baker Mayfield dots to the Colts, although I saw Stephen Holder tweet a few minutes ago.
Yep.
That's not necessarily a slam dunk.
Well, and Holder tweeted, by the way, don't sleep on Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
So there's a great – you know, that's a good poll question. Maybe I should make that my second poll question I've ever done on Twitter. If you're a Titans fan, rank your preferred quarterbacks for the Colts. Jimmy G, Baker Mayfield, Matt Ryan. Who would you most like to see them have and least like to see them have?
Yeah.
Throw the poll out there, Joe.
I'd be interested to know what sort of the response that is.
How about, you know what? I will. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to do it right freaking now.
Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators in action tonight. West Coast out there for the Preds tonight. Be caller number one, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The first caller will have an opportunity to guess a goal score for the Nashville Predators. If you get it right, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Anaheim Ducks on the road. Puck drop at 9 o'clock, pregame at 8 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ducks in sell mode, by the way. They sell off Lindholm over the weekend. He signs an 8-year $6.5 million annual average value with the Boston Bruins. So Anaheim has waved the white flag at this point. We'll see if the Predators can take advantage of that tonight on NHL trade deadline day here on Monday.
It was a nice little run, Ducks. It was kind of fun for a while, right?
It was. And then it came
to all. And there you go. Sell away.
The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. The listeners still in first place with 15 correct answers. Rex Road in second with 14. Michelle and I on the board in the last game. That puts me at 12, Michelle at 9. So the competition heating up as we go down the stretch here.
It's not bad. Not bad at all.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in today's participant, Josh from Franklin. Josh, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Josh, who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators as they take on the Ducks?
Matt Duchene.
There you go. Josh, we appreciate you taking time to call in. So Duchene, the selection by Josh, who did score in the last game. Forsberg scored in the last game as well. Joe Rexrode, you're up first in the competition among us today. Duchene off the board. Who is your pick to click?
Yeah, Josh, you really should have thought more about that one. There's a lot of possibilities. The Preds just acquired a new player. You know, there's a lot of things you can look at here. Okay, so the trading deadline is time?
2 o'clock today. Central time.
2 Central.
Yep.
Yeah. So 6 hours. Let's say about 6 hours after that. 6 hours and 17 minutes after that. Philip Forsberg will celebrate not being traded with a nice goal for me. Thank you, Philip.
There you go. So Joe Rexrode predicting Philip Forsberg, still a member of the Nashville Predators tonight as they take on the Anaheim Ducks.
I mean, that's the thing. Me picking Forsberg, does that increase the chances he gets traded? I don't know.
Also, don't ever say you don't ever pick first, sir.
Yeah.
Finally. What's it been, months?
Took the whole year. Duchene and Forsberg off the board. Michelle Knezovic, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Well, I had the same thought process as Joe. I'm thinking trade deadline today, but I think Rexrode just jinxed it. And I'm going to go back to my roots. I think he's had a little turn in his season. The switching up of the lines. Ryan Johansson is going to score tonight.
There you go.
And get on the board and help me beat you guys in pick to click.
I like it. Johansson, the selection.
All one line.
Give me the captain.
All one line.
I'm going defenseman. Give me the captain. Okay. By the way, 3 assists for Roman Josi in the last game. So his last 3 games. No, his last 4 games. 4 assists, 3 assists, 3 assists, 3 assists. Or 4 points, 3 points, 3 points, 3 points. It's unbelievable.
How many 100-point defensemen have not won the Norris?
I'm sure it's happened because those points used to come around a little bit often more back in the 80s. But
there can't be that many, right? There can't be that many.
But, man.
Man.
He's on a roll right now.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. They scored the first 2 goals of the game the other night, and I was like, wow, scoring a couple without Josi, huh? What's going on here? And then he tacks on 3 towards the end of the game.
Sure.
Actually, I think his first 3 goals of the game. Nothing.
But he still hasn't scored a goal in a while. So maybe this is good timing on your part.
Yeah. We'll see. This has been Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Preds have made a move at the deadline. We'll get into the NHL trade deadline coming up here in just a few minutes with Darren McFarland. It was a big win for the Predators over the weekend as well. They win 6-3 against Toronto. Philip Forsberg breaks the franchise goal-scoring record held by David Legwand at 210 goals. Forsberg gets his 211th. Of his career on Saturday against Toronto. Cool moment in that game. Crowd recognizing Forsberg, gave him a standing ovation when that was announced in the arena. He kind of waved up and looked at the crowd. It was a nice moment in Bridgestone Arena. And then the crowd broke out into a re-signed Forsberg chant.
He waved?
Oh, he waved.
Was he waving goodbye? What did it mean?
I don't know. He had a smile on his face.
Maybe he should have.
Just cold-hearted. Yeah, we'll see you later.
I mean, maybe he should have just done a tip of the cap or thumbs up. You know, not something that could be perceived as saying goodbye.
Maybe.
I mean, someone had to have freaked out, right?
You want to change your pick?
You are freaking out, Joe.
I'll let you do it.
Well, no, because he's not going to get traded, but it just means he's going to sign with someone else. But he'll score goals galore before he signs with the Rangers in the offseason.
Yeah. The re-sign, I don't know that I've ever heard a re-sign player X chant in the middle of a game at Bridgestone Arena before.
Re-sign Forsberg.
That's what it was for about the entire third period in that game. And the guy, I saw it, the guy that started it, they'd been trying to start it all game. And where they were in relation to the press box, I could hear them. But it never really got going until the third period. And the people who started it, I guess they must know where David Poile sits. Because he's looking right at David Poile the whole time as he's yelling the chant out. Just re-sign Forsberg. And then the whole arena got in on it.
What was Poile doing?
I couldn't see Poile.
That's why we can't really see it from the we can't see him. We know where he sits.
Poile waving to him, too. Forsberg's waving down on the bench. Poile's waving to this guy.
Double middles.
Maybe he's cheering too. Maybe Poile's in on the chant.
Maybe.
Yeah, that could be. Give him a no movement clause.
Doesn't quite have the same ring to it.
Oh, good times.
Well, it was. Big goal for Forsberg the other night. Matt Duchene scores the fifth one of the game for the Predators. And by the way, Tanner Janot picking another corner, 21st of the year. That guy's he's really good. Like he's not. I don't think he's gonna reach 30 this year.
But he'll be
mid 20s, mid to high 20s,
which is about 20 goals more than anyone had guessed. So yeah.
No, I mean it's a big win for them. And look, I said this after the game, and I got some flack from this. But that's okay. I think the game the other night was a perfect example of why I think they can be dangerous in the playoffs. You got a really good team in Toronto. I get it. Toronto is not a juggernaut defensively, although they did just trade for Mark Giordano, so we'll see how that helps them. But they've got Matthews and Marner and Tavares, all these different guys out there, Nylander. And I thought, for the most part, the Predators did a really good job on those guys. Now, they got their looks, and Matthews got a goal on a play where Saros made an unbelievable save, and then Matthews got to the rebound and scored on that play. But, you know, Marner, Matthews score. They had the puck for, like, the last 4 minutes of the game with the extra attacker, and the Predators didn't give him anything. Like, I just thought when they commit to playing that way defensively and their goaltender is who he is, and he played really well on Saturday, they're a dangerous team. Like, with Forsberg and Duchene playing the way they are, nobody wants to play the Predators in the playoffs. I'm not saying that I would pick them to win. Like, I would not pick them to beat Colorado, and I probably wouldn't pick them to beat Calgary. But that game Saturday was a good reminder to me of why I think they can be pretty tough out in the playoffs, regardless of who their opponent is.
Yeah. I mean, if what you do lends itself to how playoff games are typically played, I think that's an advantage. And certainly, you can find plenty of teams that don't play traditional playoff hockey who have had tons of success. They're just too freaking good, right? But I think the Preds style works. I mean, when you look back at like Montreal last year, you know, what was that about? I mean, it was about just absolute randomness of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
But you know, that's how they had to play. Great goaltending. Yep. You know, I mean, it's no guarantee of anything. The Preds are probably going to start on the road in the playoffs. But I agree. I mean, there's nobody in this conference to me, it'd be 50-50 in any series other than against Colorado. And I'd be very interested to see this team in a playoff series against Colorado with all the pressure Colorado has to not duplicate last year. Now, Colorado, if you tell me they're going to win the Cup this year,
okay.
I can see that. This may be like their year, like Tampa Bay had after their big disappointment, finally breaking through. But also, they could be vulnerable to a team like the Predators.
Predators have made one move. They acquired Jeremy Lauzon from the Seattle Kraken, and I hope I'm saying that right. I'm going by the pronunciation guide. It's just what it's telling me to say. Jeremy Lauzon.
I've also Googled it. I think you're correct.
I mean, I can't pretend that I'm overly familiar with Lauzon and the way that he plays. I have looked at some analytic charts. You know, he's 24 years old. He'll be 25 here in a few weeks. He's played for the Kraken this year, 53 games, 1 goal, 5 assists, 6 points. Obviously, he's not an offensive guy. He's got 17 points in 129 career games at the NHL. But you think about maybe a third pairing guy. The price is what gets me. They gave up a second-round pick in order to get him, and I just think that's way too high. Like, I get it. He's a restricted free agent, so technically he could be under your control for a while here, and you could have him for a while, which is different and does change the price from him being a rental player. I understand that, but like, to me, he's been kind of below-average player at the NHL level so far. I'm not giving up a second-rounder for him, so the Predators must really like him.
So if they re-sign him, and let's say he's a stalwart as a third-pairing defenseman over the next few seasons for the Preds, does that justify a second-round pick?
I don't know, man. Like, you're talking about a third-pairing guy.
Like, does he have to be a top-four guy at some point to validate?
If that? You told me right now that he would be a good third defensive pairing player for the next 2-3 years, then maybe I could listen to it. Because, like, you know, not all your second rounders turn into Roman Josi. Sometimes your second rounders turn into Jeremy Lozon. So I understand that. But that seems like a heavy price to pay for that guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's, look at like the Yarncroke compensation. I feel like draft picks are really flying right around left and right so far. See more to that today, I guess.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland from Darren Donick and Chase. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as NHL trade deadline day is today. What will the Predators do with Philip Forsberg? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.